Lately, it's a beautiful day today. I'm not freezing. I'm not wearing mitts or anything like that. It's a great day. In the midst of the snowstorms of last weekend, I trust that those of you that were able to make it here enjoyed having Dr. Jeff Beck here, as he shared. He is my former pastor from Delta Pentecostal, and Leslie and I and the girls had a chance to be at Delta Pentecostal last Sunday at our old church, and we had a chance to share there, and it was just great to be with the folks and to see those people that we haven't seen in a while. We visited there, we attended there before we moved to Gibson's after coming back from Ontario, but I haven't preached a message. I haven't spoken a message there in 9 years, and so it was pretty awesome to be able to share a message after 9 years. It was funny, but it was good. We had a really good time. I was really encouraged to myself. The folks really were encouraging to us, and we were able to be an encouragement to them. It was really good. A couple weeks ago, if you were here, you remember that we started this new series on what being a healthy Christian looks like. So if you're a Christian and you want to be a healthy Christian, we started this new series on what that can look like. And if you remember, a few weeks ago, we talked about how a healthy Christian doesn't make excuses, right? Does anybody remember that one? Yeah, that's a good one. I remember that one. I was like, oh yeah, excuses. We shouldn't make excuses. You know, instead of making excuses, we need to decide to live each day in the full life that God has prepared in advance for us, right? You know, we talked about that. The excuses that we make hold us back from living out and accomplishing the things that God has prepared for us in advance, well in advance, God's word says. And so if you didn't get a chance to listen to that message a few weeks ago, you can go on to our website at clagibsons.com and you can check out that message online. It is there. But you see, the deal is this. We can't make excuses about doing what we've been called to do according to the Bible. When we look at what Jesus told us to do, and Jesus told us very specifically what to do, we can look at the Great Commission, can't we? You can read in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, where it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Like, so if you're here and you're wondering, so what exactly is a Christian supposed to do? What is the Christian's life supposed to be all about? Well, there it is, summed right up. Okay, that's summed right up right there. Go out, make disciples, tell people about Jesus, moving them towards baptism, seeing what God's going to do, and being used by God in that way. And that's the goal as we live our lives serving Jesus, isn't it? To go and tell people about who he is and what he's done in your life. To be part of making disciples. Again, encouraging people to be baptized and obey all that God has said through the Bible. But how many times do you read that and you say, how am I going to do that? Like, how am I going to do that? And we think that because we're not like someone else who seems to find it easy to tell people about Jesus, we can just sit and wait until we work up enough courage to do that. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, you think you see someone else, you're like, wow, they're just so able to do it. That's how I'm supposed to be able to do that. And so until I can do it that way, I really can't do anything. And that's a mistake, I think, this morning, because I want to encourage you to realize that God has made you to be you. Like, let there be a bit of a light bulb moment there for you, okay? God has made you to be you, not someone else. In fact, God was so creative in how he made you that he has wired you to serve and to share the good news of Jesus in ways that are unique to you. Because the opportunities that you have are the opportunities that you have. They're not the opportunities that I have. They're not the opportunities that the person next to you has. They're opportunities that you have, and you have uniquely to share those opportunities. So before I go any further, let's just take a minute and let's pray again. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can look through the Bible together, that we can look through your word together, that we can kind of ask the question, what does it look like to be a healthy Christian in today's culture? Because culture is shifting, things are changing and have been changing. And so, God, we need to ask you, what does it look like to be a healthy Christian in this context that we live in today? And so, Father, I pray that through your word, that we would understand what it is you've called us to, and that how you created us with so much creativity, God, to be used by you in unique and different ways. And so, Lord, I pray that there be a freedom this morning, a freedom to go about living the life that you've given us, to serve you, to follow you, to lead others towards you with creativity. God, that we wouldn't shy away, we wouldn't be afraid of creativity, but we would embrace creativity. So God, I just pray for that freedom this morning. Amen. Amen. Why don't you turn in your Bible with me if you'd like. If you have your Bible here, either hard copy or wireless, you can pull your Bible up there. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. It's also going to be up on the slide if you just don't have your own to look at. But here's what God's Word says. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. If you have been like me and you've seen the news, you've watched the news, or you've just been out trying to find salt, is there anybody here that's been out looking for salt lately? Like, you know, we have a kind of a steep driveway, you know, where we are, and, you know, I parked my car at the bottom of the driveway, and we ran out of salt, and so you're kind of taking your life in your own hands when you start to head down that. I feel like that anyways. Am I going to slip? Am I going to crash going down this driveway? So I've been looking for salt, and there's no salt to be found, and this is a massive problem in the area, has been. I think Ken Mack may have some salt now, so props to you, Ken Mack. Way to go. The other problem is shovels, trying to find a shovel. You know, why is it you always break your shovel just like when you need it the most? It's snapped, it's done, and you're using duct tape to put it back together. That doesn't really work. But salt, right? Like salt. We know about salt, and so do many other people, the lack of salt. But the Bible, as we're reading this scripture, the Bible isn't talking about the kind of salt that melts the snow. That's not the salt that the Bible's talking about. It's talking about a salt that was used way back before there were refrigerators. And this is salt that was the main preservative of food, along with being a seasoning. This is that kind of salt we're talking about, okay? Salt. I mean, think about it. In that time, at that time of the world, there was just no way to preserve food without salt. And so you could imagine if you're out catching fish and you're bringing all these fish in, it wouldn't take very long until they got pretty ugly without being able to be preserved in salt. And so it was a pretty big deal at that time in our history. It was very valuable at that time in our history. In fact, I read that people were even actually paid in bags of salt. You know, could you imagine that? I mean, I guess maybe with the problems we've been having with not having salt for us, people might say, you could just pay me in salt. I can resell it and make extra money. I don't know. But people were paid in salt back then. Salt was one of the most highly prized minerals of those days. And today, I think we look at salt a bit differently, don't we? Salt is something that we want to be careful. Is anybody here that's careful about using too much salt? Because it's just not good for you. There's a few people. It's like, oh, no, can't use too much salt. Just a little bit. We can't use it. It's bad for our health, right? We're careful about how much salt. I have an addiction to salt and sugar. And, you know, that's a bad combination, isn't it? Sugar and salt, not exactly at the same time, but sometimes at the same time. But it's, you know, salt. It's a big deal. I like salt. You know, but back then, salt in the Bible days could actually go bad. Okay, it could go bad. That's what the word is talking about here, losing its flavor. Salt at that time could lose its flavor. It could go bad, lose its taste, and become worthless. It wasn't good for anything. You know that when we live on mission with Jesus, we are actually wanting to be people who are making a real difference in God's kingdom, aren't we? When we're living for Jesus, we want to make a difference in God's kingdom. I hope you do as well. I mean, that's kind of the point of following Jesus, is to make a difference, to live for God, to make a difference in his kingdom. And anyone who understands what it means to be a Christian realizes that this life that we've been given is not our own to live as we please. Our life is to please Jesus. That's what God's word says. If you read the Bible, that's what it says. Our life is to please, to honor God, to honor him, to serve Jesus, the King. And for this church, I want the decisions that we make moving forward to be so that the name of Jesus would be made famous in this community and on this Sunshine Coast. So that we would become so engaged and so interweaved into the lives of the people in this community that Jesus is known. Like, that's what it's all about, to be salt in this community, to have flavor, to bring life into the community. And that's what we as a church want to do, that we would become so useful and needed in our community that it would be clear that Jesus is making a difference in our lives and through our lives. Someone say amen to that? Amen. You see, that's being salt. That's being salt, making a difference. I mean, what happens when you've got some food in front of you, a plate of great food, you're ready to eat, and you taste it and you say, ah, this needs a bit of salt. And you put a bit of salt on that and then you taste it again. If it didn't have enough salt on it, what would you do? Put some more salt on, right? Oh, that's not enough. I need a little more. So you put a bit more on. And then you know, okay, is that fitting your taste buds? You might put a bit more on it. Maybe, right? Just, you know, depending on how you like it. But you add that because it has to make a difference, right? It has to make a difference. It has to be noticeable. It's really important. So that's what it means, that being salt, making a difference, getting out there, being stretched to believe that God can do it through you, that God can do it through you, that he can work through you to be salt in this community. To see that happen, we actually have to be creative in how we do that. We have to be creative in how we do that, using the ways in which God has wired us as individuals to reach people that only we can. I mean, all of you have different experiences out there. All of you have different skills. All of you have different abilities, right? I can think of people that I really admire in the congregation that have all kinds of different gifts and abilities that I don't have. And I enjoy, you know, watching them using their gifts and abilities. And they do that with joy, right? But that's because God's wired them that way. And we need to realize that God's created us to be creative in reaching the world. Be creative every day, actually, in how he can use us to share the good news. Like, we have to get away again from that idea and that thought that I have to do it like this, and there's no other way for me to do it. If that was the case, we'd all be a lot more similar than different, wouldn't we? But the reality is we're a lot more different than we are similar. The similarity that we have is that we're in Christ. That if you're here this morning and you know Jesus, we are in Christ together. We're family. And that's awesome. But it's all of the differences, is all of the ways that God's made us that make us unique. And God wants to use that uniqueness to see people reached with the good news of Jesus. So moving on this morning, I want to encourage us that we need to think creatively. We need to think creatively. Often we think of creativity in the wrong way. We tend to sometimes think of creativity as a picture of a composer or an artist at work on his masterpiece. Like, that's creativity, right? I often think of a musician, you know, sitting there trying to come up with a song, and they're trying to figure it out, and then you think, wow, what creativity there is to do that. But here's what creativity actually is. It's simply a new approach to anything. How many of you have ever heard the company called Johnson & Johnson? Okay, Johnson & Johnson. Like, you know, you've probably heard of Johnson & Johnson. Listen to this great story. It's of a man by the name of Earl Dixon. He was an employee of Johnson & Johnson. He married a young woman who was kind of accident prone. Is there anyone here that's kind of accident prone? You find yourself getting injured regularly, okay? He married someone that was kind of accident prone, and she was always getting injured. At that time, Johnson & Johnson sold large surgical dressings in individual packages, okay? But they weren't very practical for small cuts and burns. So Dixon put a small wad of sterile cotton and gauze in the center of an adhesive strip to hold it in place. You kind of know where I'm going with this, right? To hold it in place. Finally, getting tired of making up these little bandages every time one was needed, He got the idea of making them in large quantity and using something called creoline fabric to temporarily cover the adhesive strip. When the bandages were needed, the two pieces of creoline could easily be peeled off, producing a small, ready-to-use bandage. The firm's president, smart guy, James Johnson, saw Dixon put one of his homemade bandages on his finger. Impressed by its convenience, he decided to start mass producing them under the name Band-Aids. See, Dixon had been looking for a way to handle a small problem, but in the process, he invented a useful new product. I mean, how many of us here have never used a bandage before, right? I think we've all used a bandage. But think about this. That's creativity, okay? It's simply looking at an approach in a new way. And we can take that and we can actually use that in our lives as believers. Be creative. Be creative. Don't let your faith be something that you just kind of do week in and week out by coming to church or coming to the Bible study or doing, but be creative. Like, be creative in the way that God has made you to be. A very creative person came up with a new way to look at something, like this guy that we just talked about. What I find holds us back from being effective salt is that we don't get creative in thinking of new ways to reach people. We wonder why the way that we used to do things 30 years ago doesn't work today. Why is that? Why doesn't that work today? Well, it's because times have changed. Hello? Times have changed. Culture has changed. But the good news of Jesus hasn't. That hasn't changed. And it's still true today as it's ever been. And the good news is good news to anyone who wants to hear it today. But we have to go and tell them in new ways. You know, the event that we had here last night, it was a fundraiser. It was a celebration. It was a good time with nearly 150 people from our community. But more than that, all of those good things, it was a God-given opportunity to see barriers removed in people's lives. Maybe you don't know what I mean by that. How many people do you think go by this church, past this place at 730 School Road, they drive up or down the road, and perhaps they wonder what goes on here? Like, how many people do you think drive by and they wonder, I wonder what goes on in that place? Like, Sunday mornings, I maybe jog by or I drive by, and there's all these cars there. I wonder what they do in that place. Maybe they wonder that if they were to come in here, would they feel awkward? Like, would it be strange for them? Would they be in this weird place where they just don't know what to do? Last night, I have to believe that barriers that hold people back from walking into this place on a Sunday morning or any other day of the week for that matter, some of those barriers have been removed. And that's a good thing. Like, that's a good thing, yes? Because those barriers are the things that hold people back from walking into a place, right? So I have to believe that some of those barriers have been removed. You see, we have a Bible-based goal for the future, to creatively reach people on the Sunshine Coast with the good news of Jesus Christ. But what are we willing to do to see that happen? Like, what are we willing to do to see that happen, to see people reached in new and different ways? Are we willing to be creative the way that God has made us to be so that we can become a valuable part of the life of this community? Are we willing to be salt that Jesus is talking about, flavoring the culture of the community? I think we are. I think we are. But here's the flip side of it. What if we decide that we don't want to do that? Like, what if we decide we don't want to do that? What happens to any church that decides not to be salt in the world? What happens if we lose that flavor, lose that saltiness? Jesus talks about useless salt in verse 13. In verse 13, and we read it earlier, it says again, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You see, if we make no effort to affect the world around us, we're actually of little value to God. If we are too much like the world around us, we're useless in advancing the cause of the kingdom. You see, we have to realize that today, that if we choose to adopt the ways of this world and chase after the same things that people outside of relationship with God are doing, that how can we be useful to the purposes of God in our life? We are set apart to be different. And that's not just so we can be weird. No, we're set apart to be different, to bring the most important message in the world to people that are in need of that message, of that good news. We have to be people that are affecting others positively. Like, not just with good vibrations or, you know, hey, right on, good energy. No, with the truth of Jesus, with who he is, what he's done. You see, just like that seasoning, that salt brings out the flavor in the food, that's the kind of life that we're called to live in our community. If you think about the people in your lives this morning, the different people you know, the different people that you have relationships with, the different people in your circles of influence, those that you have in your life that are not believers, how do they see you? Like, how do they see you? How do they see me? Do they see you as different? Or would they be totally shocked if they discovered you're a Christian and that you believe in Jesus? You see, the whole issue of salt is the seasoning, the influence of what you might say. Like someone once said this, the salt is no good if it never leaves the salt shaker. It's only a decoration on a kitchen table. That's kind of the point, isn't it? You see, as we continue in that verse, we see that, right? Jesus talks about being light. In verse 14, you're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. He says, you are the light of the world. So again, in this modern day, we take light for granted, just like we take salt for granted, right? We take light for granted. We don't live in a country where the power goes out a bunch of times in the day, right? I remember being in India for the very first time as a kid and being in my dad's village and finding out that it was very odd that the electricity was out more often than it was on. Yeah, very strange to be in that environment. But we can be the same way. In biblical times, they didn't have electricity the way we do. And light that was placed high on a stand so they could light up a whole room. It was important. It was put up high. And the very fact that Jesus said that we are the light of the world is pretty awesome. Really, it is. Because Jesus said that he is the light of the world. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, he spoke to the people once more and said this, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. You see, sharing our own story of what God has done in our lives reflects the light of God to those around us. It's as simple as that. And this doesn't require a lot of practice. It really is simply looking for opportunities that God provides for us to speak or to act on behalf of himself into another life. It can be as simple as letting your light show in helping your neighbor in need without their asking. Be creative. Be creative in whatever God's asking you to do. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. I'm going to wrap up with this. When I think of some of you here this morning, I think of the stories that you've told me about your involvement in the community. How God is opening up doors to be part of people's lives, to be light and salt. You just have to be willing sometimes to be present, to be light and salt. Donna, I remember you shared a story with me, if you don't mind me sharing it with the congregation, about wanting to do the women's Bible study. And you wanted to do it on Fridays, I remember you told me, because instead of Tuesdays, which it had normally been done on Tuesdays, because you felt God was giving you an opportunity with your bridge group. Right, to spend time with your bridge group and to kind of be present and to be a light around perhaps an otherwise dark table, right? And you felt that was important. That was an important opportunity. Like that is being creative in an opportunity that God gives you and saying, you know what, I want to be there. I think it's important that I'm there. And that's awesome. So do Bible study on Friday, and you get to spend time with these people that you know that are asking questions, and I think that's fantastic. I got an email yesterday from Dave. Dave Ashcroft got this email about how God was at work when he was at the gym just yesterday, and that he felt that he should tell the owner of the gym about this men's ministry and about this movie night that's coming up, and how this guy, this gym owner, responded very positively to that. And it was such a blessing. So much so that that owner started to tell other young men at the gym about it and how they should come with him. Right, Dave? I think that's pretty correct. That's how you were sharing that. I think that's pretty awesome. Right? Like, it's you're at the gym, you know, and you think, okay, well, what opportunity has God given me to share that? You see, God works when we look for creative ways to share the light of Jesus, like through a movie. I chatted with John and Ev Bozak, and Ev's doing well. She's getting better, recovering from this broken leg, but he gave me permission to share the story. John gets called in. He's retired, but he gets called in to the RCMP to be a jail guard. Like, he gets to watch the prisoners and stuff that are in the place there. And John is this guy who just loves to take those opportunities with a captive audience. Okay, they're a very captive audience there in the jail, and he gets to talk to them about Jesus. And he tells them, he just like feels like, man, the Holy Spirit just leads me to share with Jesus to these folks. And, you know, believe it or not, they accept the Lord right there. They accept Jesus right there. I mean, they don't really have anywhere else to go. But it's awesome. And oddly enough, John said that sometimes they come back, because that happens sometimes to folks. They end up coming back to the jail and they share testimony. Yeah, I'm having a hard time today, but I'll tell you, you know, when you talked to me about Jesus last time, some things happened, some good things happened, and then some bad things happened, and now I'm back here. But, you know, like, it's this work in progress. You see, the opportunities that John has, I don't have, and you don't have, and you don't have, and you don't have, but he does. That's what I'm trying to get at. Be creative in whatever place God puts you. Use the creativity in you to share in different ways. Sometimes it's not even about speaking it out. Sometimes it's just about acting. Act. Help someone that needs help. You know how many times Jesus helped people that needed help before telling them anything about the good news? He helped people. Help people. Like, we should be the most helpful people of all, right? Shouldn't we? So let's share the light of Jesus with the people right around us in our community. We don't have to go on a missions trip to share the light of Jesus. We don't have to go to some other country to tell people about Jesus. We are in a place, we live in a community, in a great place, where there's all kinds of folks that need to hear the good news. We can do that. So let's be healthy Christians that use the creativity that God has given each of us to be the salt and the light that the Sunshine Coast needs. Can we do that today? I'm going to invite you to stand with me this morning. The challenge, as I close this morning, the challenge for us is seen in verse 16. Let your light shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. I'm going to read that again. Let it sink in this morning. Let your light shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So let your goal this week to be to allow the light of God that is reflected through each of one of us in our lives with Jesus to be out into this community, to let that light shine out into this community. I want to challenge you to consciously look for God to lead you this week, to give you opportunity this week, and he will if you're looking for it. If you're saying, God, help me to have an opportunity to do good. Help me to have an opportunity to bless someone who needs to be blessed that's not a Christian. And watch what God does. You can be creative in all that you do, to be creative in all that you do to bless that person. Let me pray with you this morning. We're going to close with a song. God, I just thank you. I thank you for how you have made each one of us unique. That we don't have to be cookie-cutter Christians, that we all have to look the same, we have to dress the same, we have to talk the same. You haven't made us that way, so why should we try to do that to anyone? God, you've made us unique to be who we are. And God, we thank you that the Bible, the Word of God, teaches us, it helps us to understand the framework of how you want us to live our lives. But even within that framework, we're still unique in you. We're still created in your image to be creative. God, you are creative. When we look around the world around us and see how creative you are with all that you've made, how can we not see how creative you are? You've made us that way also. God, help us to see that health in our faith, health in following you, Jesus, is about saying, God, how can I use the creativity you've put in me to be salt and light in this world, to be salt and light in my community, in my circle of influence? God, I pray that you'd help us to see that. God, that we wouldn't let anything hold us back. We wouldn't be afraid of failing. We wouldn't be afraid of what people might say, but instead we would be bold and courageous people. Jesus, we want to live for you. And we want to do all that we can to walk with you to the places where you want us to go. And so, Lord, I pray for an outpouring of creativity in this room to be who we are, created by you, to love people, to care for people, to share your love, your good news, the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone that we see, that many people would come to know you. So God, have your way. Speak to us through your word. Speak to us through prayer. Speak to us through worship. Speak to us through fellowship, through hanging out with each other and spending time with people in our community. Speak, Lord, through all of that. Jesus, you are with us each and every single day. Not just today, every day. From the moment we wake to the moment we go to sleep, you're speaking to us. You're with us. You want to use us. You want to bless. And so, Father, we just receive that today. And we pray, Lord, that your church would glorify your name every day, all the time. We thank you for this time together, Lord Jesus. Pray that you bless each and every person. God, that as we go from this place, we would go with joy, with peace, knowing that you're with us in all our flaws, in all of our challenges, you're with us. God, speak real life to us. Not just the cliche words, but real life in ways that we understand it. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Amen.